Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we were going to have, or hoped we would have this afternoon, a woman who's written a fascinating book, and her name is Candace Jackson, and she's written a book about Bill Clinton's women. And of course, if I wasn't quite sure who Candace Jackson was, I went up on the internet searching for it. Of course, I had the name. I didn't know what the topic was. And of course, when we got to Candace Jackson on the internet, why, she was a black stripper. And I thought, what am I doing with an interview with a black stripper? But we went on down, and we did find another Candace Jackson. That's Candace E. Jackson, who's written a fascinating book entitled Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton Machine. And as you begin reading the book, you realize that Candace is an extremely intelligent woman who's done a tremendous job. She's written about all the women that we know about. Now, there were at least 26 different women who had come forward and talked about their affair with Clinton. But what he did, he used violence and threats and intimidation. They would first of all, of course, to bribe people into be quiet where they couldn't. They would set out to destroy them. And that is really what's so unconscionable. What happened with Monica Lewinsky wasn't about sex. It was about threats and intimidations and everything being done, of course, to lie and to cheat and to, you know, obstruct justice. That was what it was really all about. And, of course, the media went right along with Bill Clinton. In fact, when the case was going to the Senate, the story of Juanita Broderick had come forward and told about a frank rape that Clinton had committed on her. And ABC had the entire story. I forgot whether it was ABC or NBC, but they had it all on tape. But they would not release it until after the Senate had certainly whitewashed the whole affair. You have to understand why the Senate whitewashed it, and nobody else is going to tell you. So why? Well, it is because Clinton was very high in the demolay, a senior demolay, and of course Trent Lott, the majority leader in the Senate, and a number of the senators were Masons, and they would never come out against somebody else who was part of their fraternity, their little secret society. Or even though Clinton was not actually a Mason. He was a high-ranking demolay, and those are, of course, the sons of the Masons, and certainly no Mason would ever come out against him. But the average individual doesn't understand that, and nobody is going to tell you about the occult underground that works behind the scenes and really directs the affairs of our country. And, of course, the Masons and their counterparts within the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Skull and Bones and the Council on Foreign Relations, because it comes out of the occult as well. They're working at every level of our government today. And, of course, unfortunately, you cannot have a fair legal system when you have people who swore an oath that are so secret, as the President of the United States said when asked about his membership in Skull and Bones. Oh, that's so secret, I can't even talk about it. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes and with you again. And we're probably going to have open lines because it doesn't look like our... Oh, there she is. We'll be back in just a moment with, of course, Candace Johnson right here. Jackson right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. This afternoon, we have as a special guest Candace E. Jackson. And, of course, she has worked for Judicial Watch. She's a libertarian. She's a graduate of Stanford and a Pepperdine Law School. And she, of course, is trying to write a book about Bill Clinton's women. Now, everybody says, well, why worry about that? That has nothing to do with character. It has nothing to do with this man. Why should we even worry about it? He's out of office now, but his legacy is still there. And I think what we have to understand is that we've never got the true story of what Bill Clinton did to the women in his life. And of course, well, I'm going to let Candace tell the story, because she covers the story of seven of the women who have come forward, but there were 19 others, weren't they, at least that we know of? Candace?
Yes, good afternoon. You're absolutely right. There were many others. I consider the ones I focus on in the book to be just a representative sample of the unfortunate stories that exist out there. And, you're right that a lot of people are going to think, oh, what's the big deal? Shouldn't we just let this go? But no, you're right. I don't think we have ever gotten the full perspective of the depth and the detail of how these women were mistreated. There were some very similar patterns to the harassment and intimidation of these women, but they each had their own unique experience along the way. And you put it all together, and it really says a lot to me about not only the leadership character of the Clintons themselves, but I believe about their political philosophy, their liberalism as well. So it is something to pay attention to and have discussions about, particularly when we're looking at possibly sending the Clintons back to the White House.
I think the fact that the thought that Hillary would be there, that to me is even more frightening, because she's a much more convincing liar, and certainly I think she's far more dangerous. But you point out in your book how Clinton could always find a means of lying, and he always got away with it. And if he didn't, why, he'd sort of make a joke and say, I apologize, I'm just so sorry, and they go out and do it again.
Well, that's the thing. I really think that most people were allowed to have this impression of Bill Clinton and his misbehavior.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Candace Jackson, and her book is Their Lives. Now, Their Lives is a takeoff on Bill Clinton's book, My Life, in which he simply lied. The only two women he talked about, of course, were Monica Lewinsky and Jennifer Flowers, but there were seven women who came forward, seven women whose lives he destroyed because anybody who threatened him, he would destroy. And I'm not talking simply about keeping them from getting jobs and smearing them and doing everything they could to discredit them, but actually use of physical threats, hounding these people, following them, most of these women just lived in fear for their lives, didn't they, once they crossed Bill Clinton, their lover?
Well, that's absolutely true, and it's also important to remind everyone that we're not just talking about women who came forward talking about having had affairs with Bill Clinton. Certainly some of them did, like Jennifer Flowers and Sally Perdue, but other women like Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick, they came forward talking about having no voluntary interaction with Bill Clinton, that their encounters with Bill Clinton were harassment and even violence and assault. So the depth of the behavior on Bill Clinton's part, I think, needs to be recognized. It really crosses over, into the realm of sexual harassment, addiction, and abuse.
And, of course, he told Jennifer, if anybody asks you about it, just lie. Just don't tell the truth. If we hang in there, why, everything will be all right. And
exactly.
Jennifer did lie for him, and he even got her a good job with the state government down there in Arkansas, which is a violation. I mean, that was a criminal activity to make sure his former mistress for 12 years got a good job with the government. Form of bribery.
Oh, absolutely it was, and a review commission in Arkansas voted to reverse that decision, giving her that job, and the head of the review commission was a Clinton buddy who Clinton had appointed, and he simply refused to go along with the commission. So nothing was ever done about that. But that was just one instance that that attempt to bribe these women with job offers continued for many of these women. Kathleen Willey ended up with a job. Elizabeth Grayson was assisted in getting jobs. Sally Perdue was offered federal jobs to keep quiet. Of course, his bodyguards, his troopers, were offered federal jobs to keep quiet. That was part of the carrot stick approach that the Clintons used to keep quiet anyone who might come forward to expose any of the misbehavior that they had committed.
But of course, the thing is, there was always a carrot, but then there was a very lethal stick, and these people
exactly
didn't know whether these people who called and threatened them and inferred that break their legs or do other terrible things to them were really serious or not. But there was always that fear, and what does a woman do, especially when she's been accosted by the Attorney General of Arkansas or the President of the United States? Who does she turn to for redress and for protection?
That's right. There was no feeling of safety and no feeling that there was anywhere they could turn to remedy any of this. Some of the women felt like their only option was to make their stories as public as possible in hopes that by having some public attention, the Clinton team would back off a little bit, not want to be so visual, so public about attacking these women. But that didn't work out for most of them very well. They were still smeared and attacked and called liars and white trash and all kinds of things. And so it was just a long-running, well-oiled machine that was put together to come down hard on any of these women. And the pattern really was attempt a bribe. If that doesn't work, then intimidate. If that doesn't work, threaten a little bit more strongly. And of course, while that is all going on, attack through the media and publicly try to discredit any of these women that you can. And it really had a severe negative impact on the lives of a lot of these women for literally years.
Well, of course, there is much more. I mean, you've done a wonderful job on his women, but of course, I've talked to people like Larry Nichols, who was beaten. They would have killed him, because he'd spoken out against, and had neighbor hadn't come out to get the thugs off of him. They would have beaten him to death because he'd spoken out against Clinton.
That's right. He wasn't the only one. There was a lawyer who lived in the same apartment complex as Jennifer Flowers, and he videotaped Bill Clinton coming over to Jennifer Flowers' apartment there, and he was beaten up and
almost killed
for his videotape.
And of course, this is the sort of thing that went on, and it was amazing how this was covered up. Most of this was covered up by the media.
Yeah, the more people you talk to who lived or worked in Arkansas during the time when the Clintons were rising to power there, the more I keep hearing, this is all an open secret in Arkansas. That it was some big surprise on the national scene. It was almost amusing to people who lived in Arkansas during the time. It was kind of everyone knew that this was how the Clintons operated. And I guess it surprised the rest of us, and it seemed maybe so outrageous that we didn't want to believe it.
Well, I think that, of course, it's like so much of it goes on today. Gee, if George Bush only really knew what was going on, those things wouldn't be happening. Or if Jack Kennedy had really known what was going on, those things wouldn't have happened. Or if Bill Clinton had known what was going on, they never would have happened. Because we don't like to believe this sort of thing about our leaders. But
no, we don't. And yet, we have to realize that people in positions of great power like that, of course they have layers and teams of people around them whose job it becomes to do the dirty work, to protect the person, the powerful person's interests. And, that's what was happening with the Clinton machine.
And of
plenty of people around them to go out and carry out the threats and attacks on these women.
And, of course, you go into the background of Betsy Wright, who, of course, was it was her job to cover up all of the bimbo eruption. And, you even comment that she eventually became disillusioned when, she realized that Bill Clinton had consistently lied even to her, who had been with him for so many years.
Yeah, in the end, I think I got the impression that a lot of people who worked for him at some point experienced some level of betrayal or feeling let down by who the Clintons really were. But, you know, there are others who are loyalists to the end, and it didn't matter how much they knew. You know, they may have been fully aware of everything that was going on. They were still willing to go out and carry out the dirty work.
Well, of course, why don't you tell some of the stories? I think most people don't know the story of Sally Perdue. I didn't know the story of Sally Perdue. I'd heard her name, but I really didn't know anything about her. And then what had happened to her, of course, she never told anybody about this, but she told a friend who got the word out, and then suddenly her whole world begins to crumble. Who was Sally Perdue, and what happened to her?
Well, Sally Perdue was a woman in Arkansas who had a brief affair with then Governor Clinton in 1983, lasted for a few months, and the affair ended on a tense note. She wanted to run for mayor in her hometown in Arkansas as a Republican, and Bill Clinton absolutely put his foot down and told her she better do no such thing. Didn't want her running for mayor anywhere, getting any public scrutiny for, you know, after just having an affair with him. So the affair ended on a tense note, but she didn't, she didn't talk about it or go public about it or anything like that until the 1992 campaign. Then she decided, naively, I think maybe the American public should know a little bit of personal history about this guy before they vote him into office. So she went on the Sally Jesse Raphael show in the summer of 1992 and told about having this affair with Bill Clinton. If that was as far as the thing had gone, I wouldn't be writing a book about her. Nobody would really be paying that much attention. She say what she had to say, and Clinton could just, admit to it and leave it up to the rest of us to judge him for it. But that's not how it went. She began being trailed by private investigators, some of whom were hired at Clinton campaign expense, which, is matched by our federal tax dollars.
That's a federal offense, though, to spend money on something like that, isn't it?
You would think so, but today's campaigns are full of, you can get away with a lot under the umbrella of opposition research. So it's hard to make out a case for where that line is drawn. I certainly think that kind of activity should be illegal. I mean, I'm not comfortable knowing that there are private investigators out there trailing women like this, trying to dig up whatever dirt they can find on these women.
Well, of course, they may
not running for office.
Well, they may even, of course, be coming after you now that Hillary's gone, and you certainly are a troublemaker.
You never know, right?
Well, anyway, of course, what happened to Sally? Because they're trailing her, they're following her, they're tracking her.
She's approached by a Democratic Party operative named Ron Tucker. Now, for the record, he denies this, but the FBI received a complaint from a third party who witnessed it, that this guy, this Democratic Party thug, approached Sally Perdue in person and said, offered to bribe her with a federal job. And when she turned it down, he said, if you don't play ball and keep quiet, things are going to get hard for you. We know you go jogging by yourself. We can't guarantee what's going to happen to your pretty little legs. You better just be a good little girl and keep quiet.
And
very frightening.
Well, of course, this is the sort of thing that really does go on, ladies and gentlemen. You hate to think about it, but this is the reality, because I really believe there's evil in the world. And you read this book, and even Bill Clinton talked about his own demons. And I think that may be more than just figures of speech. Anyway, we're going to be back in just a moment with Candace E. Jackson. And if you go up on the web, look for Candace E. Jackson, not just Candace Jackson. And we'll be back in just a moment with more of this incredible story. It's a fascinating book. In fact, it brings back a lot of memories of that era. And these tragic women, and of course, how they were treated by what I believe was a very, very prejudiced media, who did everything they could to bash and trash and destroy the women who told the truth. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the
20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Candace E. Jackson, and her book is Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton Machine, and there's only 7 of them here, but there were another 19 that, whose names are not widely known. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Jennifer Flowers, because here was a woman who'd had a 12-year relationship with Bill Clinton, and really, she loved him. She really felt he was such an amazing individual, and she was quite willing to sacrifice everything, her youth. She started with him when she was 27. Their affair ended when she was 40. What happened to her?
Well, she was also willing for a while to keep quiet and not, you know, try to embarrass him publicly about their affair or anything. And he became very helpful to her in 1991, just before running for president, in getting her a state job. Of course, she was an aspiring singer and needed a steady job in the meantime to support her. So he helped get her a state job, And by late 1991, she didn't decide to come forward and tell about the affair publicly until her name was already leaked in a national tabloid. Once that happened, she realized that, you know, her name and her picture were going to be out there no matter what. So she decided to make public statements telling, you know, her side of the story that, yes, indeed, they did have an affair, and she had been, you know, completely in love with him. And just before going public like that, she had been tape recording her phone conversations with Bill Clinton, because even after the affair ended, they were still close. They kept in touch, kind of friends, and they would call and talk to each other. And she started tape recording those conversations, and she also began suspecting that it was Bill Clinton or his people who had begun to do things to her, like break into her apartment and leave threatening phone calls, threatening her mother and her. So some very strange, mysterious incidents started occurring that made her very worried, and so that's why she made her taped phone conversations between her and Bill Clinton. And, of course, once she went public about the affair, the gloves were off. It was an all-out public relations war. The Clinton team came out and branded her very quickly as, you know, trash for cash, and, you know, just this lying slut who was out there to bring down, you know, the candidate Clinton. And, you know, it became very nasty all the way around. And, of course, she, you know, became the butt of the late-night jokes and was mocked and humiliated in public, had a hard time living anywhere or finding a job anywhere. And then 6 years later, Bill Clinton admitted under oath that she had been right. Yeah, they had an affair. No apology to her, no nothing. But in the end, you know, amazingly, by his own admission, it was him who had been lying and she who had been telling the truth.
And this was the President of the United States. He lied to the American people. He lied to everybody, even to the people who worked for him, like Betsy Wright, and he lied to Al Gore. You know, he was just a consensual liar. But what's even really more frightening is the vicious way that they went after this woman. Of course, she had a boyfriend at this time she was in love with, and he just picked up and left her. You know, he because she lied to him about it too. She didn't want to admit what had happened, and of course he left for the time being anyway. And but you know, the
all of that just to find out that you know, it was Clinton who was the liar.
Right. And of course, I think it was really so interesting, though, that she did make one mistake, and that was to take money, I guess, from Star Magazine, and that she did sell copies of the tapes. And so then, of course, they could complain it was all about money. It was all about money.
Right. And, you know, her story in particular, I think, makes this point very strongly, and that is that even if you can point to something like, you know, someone was taking money or whatever you think is suspicious about their motive, that doesn't mean that what they were saying wasn't the truth. In Jennifer Flowers' case, you know, yeah, they spent 6 years attacking her for making money off her story, but in the end, Bill Clinton admitted she had been telling the truth about it.
All right. And, of course, the way he went on, you know, television, said, well, I want you to know that my wife and I have had some problems, and I haven't been perfect. But, of course, when it came right down to it, he denied he'd had any affair with her. But then he denied everything, and he consistently lied, and yet he got away with it. That's what was so amazing. And now the media has rejuvenated him, and his book is out there, a bestseller, and everybody wants, of course, to be associated with Bill Clinton, that great and heroic figure. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the way down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Candace E. Jackson. Her book, Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton Machine. And it gives you tremendous insight into really the ruthless way that these people were treated. Now, there are many people who were, the men were almost beaten to death, to my knowledge. No physical harm ever came to these women, but they were terrified. They had threats, calls on the telephone, you know, of course, being followed, their rooms and quarters being searched. Anything to intimidate them. But let's talk a little bit about Jennifer Flowers. And apparently she had taken money from the Star magazine, of this little newspaper there. It's one of the, you might call them one of the sort of extremist publications, although sometimes they have some very good information. But they could use that against her then. They could say it was cash for trash or trash for cash.
Absolutely, and it worked to a certain degree. She really was written off as someone who was just too sensationalized, maybe just making it all up to get publicity and money. You could think that if you wanted, but in the end, Bill Clinton admitted that he had been lying, she had been telling the truth. So, you know, to me, that demonstrated that the credibility gap in any of these stories that are he said, she said, You know, it's the Clintons with the credibility problem, not these particular women.
Well, now, how about Elizabeth Ward Grayson? She was seemed like a very, very nice person. She was, of course, I think swept off her feet by, I guess, she was the governor of Arkansas at that time, and of course, she never wanted to bring this whole thing out, and because she mistakenly had told one person, suddenly this whole thing is out, and her whole life is written. I mean, this was just a one-night situation.
That's exactly right. It should never have erupted into a life-changing or damaging experience the way that it did. She didn't want to talk about it. At Clinton's request, she issued a public statement during the 1992 campaign denying that anything had ever occurred between them. But you're right. She told a friend, and when that friend testified for the Paula Jones lawyers and talked about Elizabeth Grayson's experience, next thing you know, the Paula Jones lawyers want to subpoena Grayson, and before she gets the subpoena, she starts getting, all these suspicious things, like her apartment being ransacked. She begins to get phone calls warning her not to be around to be served with that subpoena, and she goes on the run. She wants to avoid being put in the position of having to either testify against Bill Clinton or commit perjury.
And of course, she's really told to get out of town so that they can't find you with a subpoena. Wasn't that the general
thing? That was the idea. Don't be around. You better not be around to get this subpoena.
And of course, when you're a woman, a single woman, she's now divorced from her husband, and of course, she has no place to turn. The President of the United States is out to get her, and so she starts traveling so they can't serve a subpoena on her.
Exactly, she was a Miss America, and it's startling and disturbing that she felt it necessary to leave the country for a couple of years to try to avoid being compelled to testify against Bill Clinton.
And of course, we remember, of course, that Susan McDougall, she actually went to prison rather than testify against Bill Clinton on the Whitewater issue. And of course, her husband mysteriously died in prison. It's amazing that Kenneth Starr never tried to get him out to protect him. He just left him there. And of course, he was diabetic. They put him into the solitary without his medicines. And oh, shucks, he died. Isn't that too bad? But Susan was smart. She didn't testify against Bill, and you know why Bill pardoned her. One of the last things he did as president. So he really did look after the people who didn't
That's
come
right.
out against him.
He rewarded
his friends, and
exactly.
He eliminated his enemies.
If you were willing to play ball and go along with the program and make things easy for him and take the fall, I mean, sitting in jail for somebody is pretty extreme. You got to be a pretty loyal defender or a pretty loyal friend.
Either that or very friend for your life, because she knew what had happened to her husband.
Look what was happening to other women who did come forward. You know, I'm sure a few of these women in my book wish that they had sat in jail in contempt of court rather than testify against Clinton.
All right, well, now let's get on into some of the other acts of violence, because certainly what happened to Juanita Broderick was frank rape. And yet, who would you go to complain about when you've been raped by the president?
Right, the attorney general who's running for governor of your state.
Okay,
not much you feel like you can do to report it. And then, of course, like with too many of, those situations with sexual assault, you're afraid that even if you try to go to the police, maybe nobody will believe you, and this is a very powerful, popular person, and, you're afraid that everyone's going to believe, him and not you, and so she kept quiet about it. She didn't report it to the police, and she didn't talk about it publicly until, two decades later.
How did it come out? I mean, how did the story come out? Do you recall?
Her name had been thrown around, rumors had been flying around about her for many years, and she never talked to the press about it, and she avoided getting served in the Paula Jones lawsuit, but the rumors continued to fly around, and NBC started contacting her to try to get her to do an interview in, I think, 1998. She refused. They finally put her in touch with Kathleen Willey, and somewhat ironically, it was talking to Kathleen Willey that helped persuade her to go forward for the purpose of allowing the American public to see this different and disturbing side of a man that we twice elected president.
And of course, what was really so interesting is that that NBC betrayed her. They promised that they would show it, and then of course they sat on it until after the impeachment hearings were over. So they didn't want to have anything come out that would possibly embarrass the criminal president.
You know, she was told by the producers there, the good news is you're credible, you're very credible. The bad news is you're very credible. In other words, NBC spent months investigating Juanita Broderick's story, the details of her allegations, where it happened, when it happened, you know, everything they could find. They scrutinized her and her husband and their business and everything. They couldn't find anything to disprove her story. They found lots of things to back up her story, and it was so explosive and so credible that's exactly right. They held it, they sat on it until after the impeachment.
It wouldn't do any harm at that point. And of course, she had already beat, he was never...
And it didn't. The strategy worked. It did zero harm to Bill Clinton, in my opinion. It's only if we're willing to talk about it now that he will ever be held accountable for that kind of behavior. Because at the time, you know, a couple of weeks of talking about it in the press here and there, some spotty coverage, and then everyone kind of seemed to shrug their shoulders and say, well, oh, well, moving on. There's no more impeachment.
And, of course, Trent Lott and, of course, Arlen Specter, both Republicans, you'd think they would want to get the Democratic president, but you must understand that was never the purpose. Any fairness in this? I mean, the 10 Republicans who had gotten this thing to the House risked their careers and literally risked their lives to try to get the truth to the American people, and Trent Lott, a Republican, and Arlen Specter and a couple of other Republicans who certainly had strong ties to the organizations that Bill Clinton belonged to, of course, refused to pursue it at all. The Republicans wanted 3 months. They gave them 3 days or 2 days and three witnesses. So there was never a trial. Nothing was ever brought out, and it was never supposed to be.
Yeah, behind the scenes, the rumor is that some of the Republicans have admitted that behind the scenes, having access to Juanita Broderick's story was what persuaded some of them to go forward with impeachment, even though Juanita Broderick's story was never part of the official case. Never part of the official impeachment case brought by the House.
And then, of course, the story of Paula Jones was just so disgusting. We wouldn't even want to go into the details of it here on our program, but there was no question that it was entirely inappropriate action by this man who really seemed to want to be able to control a woman. He almost took a certain delight in having power over women.
Absolutely, and from the reports of his bodyguards and people around him, apparently a lot of women responded favorably to that kind of, you know, just objectified and disgusting, aggressive sexual behavior. A lot of women apparently responded favorably to him, not Paula Jones. She was actually horrified by it and humiliated by it. And 3 years after it happened, when her name appeared in a magazine, and a state trooper was quoted as saying that she had a satisfying experience with Bill Clinton and wanted to be his girlfriend, that's when she decided to start the legal battle to try to clear her name. She was very offended.
And that was, of course, the thing that really brought about all these hearings at that time. And, you know, we can thank Paula Jones and the legal people who represented her, did they eventually get a settlement from the Clintons for that?
She did. She originally asked for about $750,000. He got a settlement from Clinton for $800,000.
I see.
So she didn't make a lot of money off of that. she was in a lot of debt to attorneys, because this was a legal battle that lasted 5.5 years.
And of course, Bill Clinton had a bottomless pit as far as funding was concerned, because actually State Farm Insurance was paying all his bills for a time. I think eventually they stopped
most of it. That's right. The insurance companies were eventually knocked out of the lawsuit and eventually were not on the hook for the settlement, but they were paying, you know, defense costs for much of that. And of course, the Clintons opened up an unprecedented legal defense fund and took donations from the public along the way, too.
And of course, didn't somebody actually put up the $800,000 or something to...
Yes.
So Bill Clinton really didn't get hurt by this, but the fact that he writes this book, supposedly his biography, and I think that's really one thing that offended you, wasn't it? That he just ignored all of these other things, and he mentioned Monica Lewinsky as if somehow that's just, it was just, he doesn't quite know why he did it. You know?
Well, just doesn't know why, and, you know, there's...
I mean, he gives hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah, there's no recognition. I mean, it's all... Even when he does talk about Monica Lewinsky, it is so self-centered, as if the impact on him is all we should care about. You know, there's just no acknowledgement of the impact of his choices and his behavior on Monica Lewinsky, her family, or any other of these women.
Well, I think it's an amazing, amazing story, because, of course, it just brings back a lot of memories of that time, and you realize really what a terrible man that is. And you know, now as we see him being, sort of like the phoenix rising from the ashes, certainly rehabilitated by the media, and we see him, of course, attending the Super Bowl right along with George Bush, the two ex-presidents standing there. Of course, I noticed that when they're singing the Star Spangled Banner, everybody else is singing with their hand over their heart, but neither George Bush or Bill Clinton are singing the Star Spangled Banner. So, you know,
they've been pals lately, no doubt about it. It's kind of strange.
Well, our telephone number is, do you mind taking any calls?
Sure, a few more minutes.
Sure, we have a few more minutes, about 5 minutes to go. So if you're out there in the listening audience, and you would like to talk to our guest today, she's done a great job in this book. It's fascinating reading, and a lot of information I really didn't know. And a lot, you know, we need to think about again. It's their lives, the women targeted by Clinton, the machine, and of course it's by Candace Jackson. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, there were, of course, other women that were involved with him as well. What about Kathleen Wiley? Where, I mean, she took a lot of courage on her part to come forward, and they certainly did a great job trashing her.
Oh, a tremendous destructive attempt on Kathleen Willey when she finally came forward. And of course, she was one of the women who you know, she tells me she never ever wanted to go public about anything that had happened. She had to come forward because she was served with a deposition subpoena. She had to testify, and after being threatened and harassed and intimidated for months prior to her deposition, she did go in and testify truthfully, even though when you read her transcript, you can tell she's trying really hard to say just enough not to commit perjury, but not quite, you know, forthcoming with all the details. So she eventually went on 60 Minutes and told her story of what had happened between her and Bill Clinton in a lot more detail, and, you know, the public attacks, you know, calling her, you know, this deranged, you know, kind of crazy woman who's just out there to sort of, you know, make things up about Clinton. You know, that had a real impact on her life.
And of course, they had certainly things like the scare and smear, and call them nuts and sluts, and all sorts of these cast for trash. They had all these tricky little phrases they used mean people.
You got to believe a lot of disconnected people are outright lying, and Bill Clinton's telling the truth in order to walk away with the impression that, you know, that he's innocent of all this.
But I think it's what's so interesting is that they said, you know, well, back, you know, when he first, this whole thing came up, he was telling the truth about not having an affair with Jennifer Flowers, and then when he testified, he was telling the truth then. So he seemed to be able to tell the truth whether he was telling the truth or not, at least according to his followers.
Well, exactly. I mean, the way he could twist words, I suppose, you know, he kind of got that reputation, but
what is the meaning of is? I mean, that really that was the most amazing.
That's
got to
be a low point.
And the fact is that the American people today honor him, and, you know, when he's having his book signing, everybody was there, and everybody's cheering him, and there's still so many people
celebrity.
Who think, and his wife could become the next president of the United States. What a frightening thing. Well, they
I
have,
would not underestimate her ability to do that.
Well, that would be the crowning blow of a depravity in our nation. Well, let me just let you. You got about a minute to wrap up the program.
Yeah, I think that's actually the perfect way to wrap up the discussion is to remember that this is not just about what Bill Clinton did, but what Hillary Clinton helped him do and supported him in throughout the years. And you know, I think it would be dangerous to underestimate the Clintons' political abilities and to think that she doesn't have a decent chance of repositioning herself well enough to actually get the nomination and possibly even get a majority.
Get the
so,
next,
you know, these are things we should be talking about.
Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you so much for writing a good book. Maybe we can get you on one of our other programs. I hope so.
Thank you so much,
Ken. Bye-bye. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, of course, that there are spiritual forces behind Hillary. You remember when she went to the White House and she brought in Jean Houston to conjure up spirits? Conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt? Conjure up the spirit of Mahatma Gandhi? Everybody thought that was funny. I don't think that was funny at all, because I think there are demonic forces at work in the world today.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
If you're looking for a comfortable residential care facility for yourself or a loved one, consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The 6-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located at 97 Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361. That's 831-840-1361. Or Elsie at 831-840-2410. That's 831-840-2410. And ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and really what a tragic part of America's history. But I really fear that America, of course, is a nation on the way down. because we've lost our religious foundation. The reason we have, of course, there truly are demonic forces at work within our society. There is an occult hierarchy, there's an occult underground, there's an occult agenda, and it all aims at creating a new world order and a new world religion. Now, if you really want to see how this all fits together, let me suggest my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to the secret organizations that are out there, the New Age, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Masons, the Skull and Bone Society, and so many other organizations that work behind the scenes. And, of course, they know they coordinate their efforts. Sometimes they work together. Sometimes they work at variance. But they all work towards the same goal, and that is to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., to eliminate our constitutional concept of limited government, and establish a dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. But should you be surprised when America is turned against God, that God would abandon this nation to terrible, terrible tragedies? Well, they don't have to happen. I'm not saying that we can turn it around, but we can try, and God, certainly throughout the history, has repented and not brought judgment on nations when there is true repentance of the nation. But there has to be repentance, and I don't see any sign of it at the present time. I see a new church growth movement that is leading people away from the traditional teachings of the Bible, away from the old translations of the Bible, into the Message, which is certainly has very little to do. Even Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message, which is featured so prominently in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Even Eugene Peterson doesn't think much of his own translation, saying this is not the Word of God, but it's being translated as the Word of God. And of course, we're bringing the satanic music into our churches. And if you don't think the rock and roll is satanic, then please get our video, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour videos. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, or the 3-hour or 10-hour DVDs, and they will change your life, I promise you. You want to get the videos, Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. You probably should get our new video. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis. It's a talk we actually, it's available only in DVD at this time, but it's a talk we gave a few weeks ago, pointing out that we're on the verge of a financial crisis here in the United States. You need to get our material on Mercury. You need to get the book, Evidence of Harm, because they're poisoning our children with the vaccines, and they know what they're doing. And they're not taking the mercury out of all the vaccines. They've left it intentionally in the influenza vaccine. And we're still, of course, sending it to Africa, where they're using it to poison the minds of the children there. And then, of course, they're poisoning our water with fluoride. And if you doubt that, you need to get the scientific studies. And we have them in a great syllabus. And that syllabus is called The Hidden Agenda, The Fluoride Deception. And, of course, there's a video that goes with that. And, of course, it's called The History and Toxicity of Water Fluoridation. The History and Toxicity of Water Fluoridation. We have another video. It's called Water Fluoridation as Such. And then, of course, we have 2 4-tape sets. We have a wonderful book called The Fluoride Deception, which I've read through twice, and you should read through 2 or 3 times, to really understand that they hired the same man that the cigarette industry hired to convince women they should smoke. And they did a wonderful job. Cancer of the lung is the second most common cancer in women today. When I went through medical school, it was almost unheard of. But Edward Bernay, the man they hired, the propaganda specialist, managed to convince millions of women to smoke, and they've died as a result of it. They also hired Edward Bernay to convince people that the industrial pollutant fluoride was safe and effective substance, and you would have a perfect smile throughout all perpetuity. They made an industrial poison into a panacea. And the average person doesn't understand. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927.